Friends, as noted earlier, we've now entered into the most intense, amazing time of the whole year, the entire year, this sacred Paschal Triduum. What a great joy it is. And tonight's liturgy wastes no time in immersing us right into the deepest mysteries of our faith, the deepest mysteries. In fact, we see Christ fulfilling the deepest mysteries of the Jewish faith and thereby opening up new and entirely unimaginable pathways. The first reading is, of course, a famous passage from the Exodus experience of the ancient Jews, where God establishes the Passover feast, which is a memorial, as we heard, that all generations must celebrate as a perpetual institution. So this isn't just like a one-time party. It's supposed to be remembered over and over and over. As we heard, the Jews must procure a young male lamb without blemish and must slaughter this lamb on the prescribed day in the evening twilight. The 14th day, I don't remember the name of the month, the first month of the year, in the evening twilight. The lamb then must be roasted whole and consumed with unleavened bread. Unleavened bread, note. And its sacrificial blood must be smeared on the doorposts and lintels of each household. This is the Passover or Paschal sacrifice that will save God's people from slavery, oppression, and death, setting them free and opening up the path to the Promised Land after they go on the Exodus, of course, and eventually end up in the Promised Land. Indeed, as we heard, they must eat it with loins girt, sandals on their feet, and staff in hand, just like people in flight. So they need to be ready to flee at any time. Now, perhaps this sounds a bit familiar, and it should. Christ brings the Passover to its full fruition. He is the Paschal Lamb par excellence, right? The Lamb without blemish that is sacrificed to save all people, not just the Jewish people, from slavery to sin and the oppression and eternal death that sin leads to. He allowed all this to happen so that he might lead all people from the struggles of this world into the promised land of heaven. Not the promised land of Canaan, the promised land, eternal promised land. His sacrificial body and blood are meant to be consumed as our primary nourishment in this life, and therefore he has commanded us to celebrate this sacrifice as a perpetual memorial. Of course, we're talking about the Eucharist here. His blood is meant to be smeared on the doorpost of your heart so that you can live not in fear and slavery, but rather full of peace and joy. And it is crucial that you always have your spiritual loins girt so that you're always ready to flee from sin and darkness. So there's a very clear parallel here between what happened long ago and what's happening right now. Today's responsorial, which is an excerpt from Psalm 116, helps us to understand another key reason why this memorial is so important. The psalmist asks, "How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me?" He has done immeasurable good for us. What can we possibly do to repay him? How can we possibly repay God? "The cup of salvation I will raise. I will take up and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer sacrifice of thanksgiving." The only way we can truly repay the Lord is by following his will and offering up the sacrifice he gave us, the only perfect sacrifice and the only sacrifice that completely reconciles us to him. This sacrifice, of course, his own son, the sacrificed and resurrected Paschal Lamb, the Eucharist. That's what this sacrifice is, that all Scripture has been pointing to. And now we're here at the culmination. The psalmist continues, "Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones." Now this refers principally to Jesus, the death of his faithful son, but then to us members of his son's body as well. It refers to the Paschal rhythm of our lives where we die to ourselves and rise to new life in him. That's the Paschal rhythm that we're called to live. I am your servant, the psalmist continues. You have loosed my bonds. He's pointing to the freedom that the Lord gives us when we die to ourselves, rise to new life in Him each day, when we celebrate the Eucharist with Him, when we celebrate the other sacraments, confession, and so on. He looses the bonds that tie us down, the bonds of sin and death and darkness. So that's the first great mystery that we celebrate today, is the institution of the Eucharist. There's three of them. The second is the sacramental priesthood, because we can't have the Eucharist without the sacramental priesthood. So this is kind of a big day for priests. Now, Christ is, of course, the great high priest, the priest of all priests. But He has chosen men throughout all ages to participate in His own priesthood, beginning with the apostles at the Last Supper. And to be sure, there's two types of priesthood that you're probably aware of. There's the ministerial priesthood, which is ordained priest, but then there's also what's called the royal priesthood, which is every single member of the baptized is called to Christ's priestly ministry in a certain way. We're going to focus on the ministerial or the sacramental priesthood today. In today's second reading, St. Paul provides one form of the institutional narrative that's used by every priest, every ordained priest, I shall say, at every Mass. In John's rendition of the Last Supper, he doesn't include this. It's already been given three times in the Synoptic Gospel, so he gives us a different look at the Last Supper. Therefore, we have Paul's institutional narrative to guide us along. So Paul's recounting Jesus' words here. This is my body that is for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Paul also highlights the memorial and sacrificial aspects of this celebration. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until He comes. So yes, in a sense, the Eucharist is a meal, but it's also a sacrifice, and it's the memorial. We proclaim it until He comes. But we can't forget the death, the sacrifice Christ made. So sometimes people kind of bifurcate or they separate the two. They're meant to be taken together. So the first mystery is the Eucharist. The second mystery, the ministerial priesthood. The third mystery is fraternal charity or service to our brothers and sisters, which necessarily flows from a life of conversion centered on the Eucharist and is uniquely highlighted in John's depiction of the Last Supper. And we can see the seeds of the three-legged stool being planted here. After having just celebrated the first Eucharist, Jesus wants the disciples to better understand the full nature of this great gift and this great gift and of the priesthood that He's bestowing upon them. So the gift of the Eucharist and the priesthood. As noted earlier, the Eucharist is not just a meal, and the priesthood is not about privilege at all. The priesthood, it all hinges on sacrifice, on conversion, which then leads to service. And Jesus makes it very clear that service is not optional, right? He doesn't say, do this if you want to. He says, I'm your leader, so if you follow me, you got to do this. It's not optional. But sacrifice comes first. And as we see with Peter, this order is crucial. Because he, as he often does, he goes running off with the, kind of his own thoughts, and he's denying what Jesus wants to do. He doesn't want Jesus to do this to him. He probably wants to wash Jesus' feet. That's what he's getting at. But as we see here, when service comes first, then it doesn't come from Christ. And so he gently rebukes Peter, and they move on. Jesus wants to be intimately close to you, just like Peter. He wants to come right in. But will you allow Him this access? Will you allow Him to come into your darkness, into your doubts and your fears and your struggles? The more you become a Eucharistic person, the more you will naturally surrender to Him with a sacrifice of thanksgiving and selflessness. And then the more you will walk along with Him on the final exodus, full of His peace and joy, as you journey to the eternal promised land of heaven.